keeping us on our toes.
California flag.
Welcome to the closed session meeting of the Los Osos CSD, August 31st, 4:30 p.m. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Sasanya?
Here.
Director Tacker?
Here.
President Schicker?
Here. I didn't mean vote, I just meant roll call. Sorry about that. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read the closed session agenda categories. First, we have pending litigation pursuant to Government Code 54956.9B. There's about 15 lawsuits on your agenda, all we can possibly discuss in our closed session. And the second item is personnel. Can't hear you. Is that better? I never mumble. Can you hear me now?
It's okay.
Okay. The first section, again, pending litigation, there's approximately 15 lawsuits listed on your agenda. And the second agenda item is personnel, where we will be discussing the interim general manager, the utilities manager, and retention of bond counsel. And that's pursuant to Government Code 54957. And then I need to announce out of closed session from August 17th, which most of you have heard, but I wanted to announce it in the public forum, that the LOCSD filed bankruptcy, Chapter 9, on Friday, August 24th. Ms. Biggs, do you have anything to add?
Yes, you should report on the motion and second and vote on that as well.
Okay, the motion was made by me, President Schicker, and seconded by Director Sasanya, and it was a unanimous vote, 5-0. Is there anything else I should add, or is that good? Okay, so we're ready for public comment now. Anybody who'd like to speak, come on up.
Am I on? Oh, yes, I am. Sorry. Let me move this over a little bit so I can see that. I want to give some appropriate words and phrases that describe the way someone named Blakeslee acted towards us in his bill and in his behavior towards us. You can say that Blakeslee deceived us, tricked us, duped us, bamboozled us. He did a snow job on us. He strung us along from the very beginning till now. He pulled a fast one on us. Assemblyman Blakeslee betrayed us, outwitted and outmaneuvered us. He misled us and misguided us. Perhaps my favorite one is that he misrepresented us. He's supposed to be a representative. He misrepresented us. He gave us a bum steer, hoodwinked us, pulled the wool over our eyes.
Mr. Cooper, I'm sorry. Could you tell me what lawsuit you're referring to? This is closed session.
I'm referring to the bankruptcy, and the cause of the bankruptcy is the bill. Thank you. Blakeslee did a lot of things there are a lot of bad, naughty words that he used in there. Blakeslee blanked us, but I don't recommend using that if you're going to do that. I don't think it's decent to do in public. He victimized us. He suckered us. He sold us a bill of goods and sold us down the river. He stacked the deck against us and loaded the dice. These are all things I think are true. He finagled. He was underhanded. He was sneaky, calculated. He was a false friend and two-timer. He double-dealed us. He was a Judas, a Benedict Arnold, a Brutus. He was untrustworthy, stabbed us in the back, and gave us a Trojan horse. All those things I think are true. So if you want to have a sign that describes what Mr. Blakeslee did in relation to us, I think these all describe it well. He did this to Los Osos, he did this to the board, he did this to you and me, and it's not right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Who else would like to speak tonight? Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos, and a candidate for the LOCSD. Lawsuits in general. The LOCSD should post a hearing schedule for each of these cases. The LOCSD is only responsible for bringing only four of the now pending action, and I believe one is being part of the designated party in the CDOs. So that's only really three actions. Taxpayer Watch and associated parties have brought most of the rest of these lawsuits. These very same people have been involved with and support the issuing of the ACL fines and the CDOs as a collective punishment for the community's political decisions. Performance evaluation, it's a contract negotiation for the utilities manager. The Water Ops Committee spent several meetings trying to find fault in the way this department was run to the point of micromanaging every minute and every penny spent. They failed to find any evidence or smoking gun pointing towards any wrongdoing or mismanagement. I believe this vindicates all involved, and this department should get high ranks in the review. And I believe congratulations are in order for the achievements, considering the adversity that the district is now going through. Interim general manager, need I say more? Checks were written on reserves without board approval, under the guise of not knowing what the color of the money was. This action was deceitful, and I believe an investigation is in order. This deception can only lead to the emboldenment of the district's opponents. Though tonight I think we're going to hear about the real money matters of the district, and I think it's about time that we got to this budget and the answers to some of the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Mr. Barrow?
Oh. Are we ready? Good afternoon, you all. These are a pair of rowing oars, sculling oars. They're made out of carbon fiber, and they're expensive, so I have to keep them with me. I just got out of the bay. Blackjack and I went across to the sand spit and back, got some quality time. That's why we're here, because of the environment. That's the only reason why I'm here, because number one, I would like to address on the first issue before stating that I am a candidate for the replacement of the three board members that are up for re-election. I'm running for one of those seats. In the closed session items, there's an item about bankruptcy. And I want to clarify, I spoke with Burke Williams and Sorensen's representative, Julie Biggs, and made clear to her that when I saw the published creditors list, that I should not have been on that list. I was listed as $212,000 that the district owes me. And we know that is not the case. That lawsuit was settled by the board last fall. And I think if a director is going to be involved, I can't hear you.
It was just, it wasn't, we aren't discussing it tonight on the agenda.
Say again?
We're not discussing land on the closed session agenda this evening.
You don't have a closed session agenda?
On land. We're not, we didn't
on
put
land,
land
okay.
on.
Well, I'll just make the general statement that if a director has an interest in something, they should either step down or not vote on an item. Okay? Thank you.
If I could address that, there was a typographical, a transpositional error in the bankruptcy listing. The you will recall that last fall the district settled five lawsuits, one of which was the Measure B lawsuit, and that was settled with Mr. Barrow and paid in full. There were four other lawsuits, three of which were settled with CCLO and one with Case. And that one with Case is still outstanding. It was one of the terms of the settlement was that payment would be made over time. And that payment had stopped with the freezing of the funds. So there is still money due from that particular lawsuit. It amounts to about $27,000. The $212,000 item is actually the item for CCLO. Both of those suits are related, or both of those creditors are creditors only because money is owed to Burke Williams and Sorensen. So we will be obtaining assignments of that credit to Burke Williams, and that will be fixed upcoming filings with the court. These are legal fees that the district agreed to pay, and they are the remaining balances of that agreement. And that's what that is.
Thank you for the clarification. Who else would like to speak during the closed session? Mrs. Cooper?
Hi, Lacey Cooper. I just wanted to say something about the bill, about there should be a letter of intent with the bill. And on the letter of intent, there's supposed to be real property taken out on page 8, section C, line 12, and that's supposed to be in the letter of intent. And that should, and there's other things that are supposed to be in the letter of intent on AB 27 called the Santa Maria sludge people. I don't know what to call them. And they were saying they weren't going to accept the amount of sludge that would be required if people, the CDO people, were to pump their septic tanks every 2 months. So I found that really interesting. If you are doing legal things in terms of the CDOs, you know, I don't know who's aware of what, but they were very clear to her, at least, about not accepting this. So I don't know where they're going with the CDOs if it's there's no place to put the sludge. So I thought that was interesting. And since you're not talking, I guess you're not talking about bankruptcy and its effect on Tri-W. I was hoping tonight, I guess it's a question. I'd like to be clear on the bankruptcy's effects on, you know, all the operation of the board, and as also on selling land and transferring land and things like that, the bankruptcy, what kind of, I don't know if it's appropriate to ask this now, to ask legal counsel now and the board now, or is it better later? Because I know you're doing the budget, but it seems like that's all rolled into, you know, everything. Thank you.
Thank you. I've invited Mr. Michelson to present at 7 p.m. So he'll be here to give a public presentation at that time. Mr. Michelson is the bankruptcy attorney. Yeah, he'll be here then. Mm-hmm. Mr. Allaby?
Hey, Chris Allaby, Los Osos. I'd like to have it explained why we've filed bankruptcy, all the ramifications, and why there's no public input, or at least very little. It's all sort of a surprise to all of us. I firmly believe the county only wants in on this whole thing to block any lawsuits pending caused by the building permits they issued and the CDOs are being punished for now. I really don't have much in the way of comments on these other items here. I'll just wait till the public comment at the special meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Payne?
Good afternoon, Madam President, board, staff, Penn or whatever, and it'll be law that the county even has to give us a 218 vote. So why don't you just agree that we should have had a 218 vote and drop out of this situation and let Mr. Sykes stay home when there's a hearing for the against the State Water Resources Control Board. I really don't like having to sue my own CSD for no 218 vote when it's now law that we have to have a 218 vote, like it wasn't already law before Mr. Blakesley double-crossed us. And by the way, that bill does everything to give the county the right to decide whatever they want to do to us and decide whatever they want to charge us for it. And remember, they always get 17% governance, or do they actually call theirs administration fee? The other thing is the interim general manager. How long has he been on interim now? Is that about a year? I thought interim was a temporary situation. So let's take a look at that. Maybe we can find someone local cheaper that we don't have to pay transportation for. And I guess that's it till 7 o'clock. See you then. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the board or staff or public? Closing public comments. See you at 7 p.m. Close session. Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for attending the Thursday, August 31st session of the Los Osos Community Services District. I have the report out of closed session that I'd like to report. I'm going to share this duty with our attorney, Julie Biggs. And what I'm going to do, because we haven't done it in about 6 months, is I need to read all of the lawsuits into the record. And I need to explain to the public, I feel it's very important to explain to the public.
He's absent this evening.
Okay. So our closed session agenda this evening, or this week, was this. Pending litigation under Government Code 54956.9B. The first lawsuit is Taxpayer Watch, Joyce Albright, Robert Kreiser, Christopher Eisler, versus the LOCSD appeal of Measure B. This is a lawsuit where the citizens, where we are defending the district, and we are defending against this action. The second lawsuit, no reportable action tonight. Taxpayers Watch, Joyce Albright, Robert Kreiser, Christopher Eisler, versus the LOCSD, Steve Sennett, John Fouché, Jack Sassania, Lisa Schicker, Julie Tacker, in Slow Superior Court, CV050862. This is a lawsuit against the district and against us as elected officials, as individuals. We are defending. We did not bring this lawsuit. We are defending. The third one, Los Osos Taxpayers Association versus State Water Resources Control Board and LOCSD in Slow Superior Court, Public Waste and Prop 218. We, again, are defending against this action. We are defending the district. We did not cause this lawsuit. Next one, LOCSD versus State Water Resources Control Board in Sacramento Superior Court. This is a breach of contract in the SRF loan. This one is in response to the State Water Board telling us that we breached the contract, and then the funds were withdrawn from the loan. So we are again defending the citizens' rights in this breach of contract claim because of the money that was incurred with starting construction 20 days before the recall election and encumbering all these contractors with no way to pay them. And the next lawsuit is the Regional Water Board versus the LOCSD in Slow Superior Court, CV051074, injunctive relief against Measure B, another Measure B lawsuit that we are defending. We are not causing this lawsuit. The next lawsuit is Bernard Construction versus LOCSD, CV060094. This is a contractor action against the LOCSD in Superior Court. It's kind of important because, I don't know if you know this, but we were given a very short time schedule order right in the beginning, our CSD, of 4 years to complete a project from start to finish. At the same time we were given 4 years to do a project, the city of Morro Bay was given 15 years on their time schedule order to upgrade their plant. We were given 4 years from start to finish. So there was always a case out there. The original board filed this claim right in the beginning to say that the time schedule order was unreasonable. That's just getting to court now. That was filed, in 2000? A long time ago. It's just getting appealed now. The next lawsuit is Montgomery Watson Harza versus LOCSD in Slow Superior Court. Again, we are defending. We did not bring this lawsuit. The next lawsuit is Korenbaum versus LOCSD Bruce Buell, Bruce Pickens, and Slo Superior Court. This is an employee, past employee lawsuit. We are defending. We did not bring this lawsuit. The next lawsuit is LOCSD versus Golden State, etc., et al., in Slo Superior Court. This lawsuit is what is called a friendly adjudication of the basin, meaning who gets the water and how is it divvied up and how is it managed. This is not a lawsuit of adversity. This is trying to work out an arrangement with the court to determine who and how this arrangement works between all the water purveyors in the Los Osos Basin. The next lawsuit is the LOCSD as a designated party versus the Regional Water Quality Control Board. We are defending the citizens and the individual CDO holders, cease and desist order holders, in Los Osos. We have joined the citizens in defending against the CDO actions. The next lawsuit is LOCSD versus CORE, eminent domain action in Superior Court, and that has to do with an easement for property for pipe in the ground. That's a real estate lawsuit. The next lawsuit is Sturtevant versus LOCSD in Small Claims Court, SC060026, and this has to do with the prepayment of assessment monies. Again, we are defending. This is the second time for the same lawsuit. We are defending. We did not bring this lawsuit. I'm sorry, that was one. I made a mistake. Sturtevant is the one about water meters. The next lawsuit is Merrill, pretty much the outcome of all these lawsuits and all the actions of the last year. So those are a list of the lawsuits read into the public record because I have not done that in over 6 months. I thought it was important to do it at this time and valuable for the people listening and watching at home. Just a little bit about those and where we're at right now at this point in time. Now Mrs. Biggs will report on our reportable actions from closed session.
Yes. As noted by President Schicker, the various contractor cases were discussed in closed session, including the Barnard action, Montgomery Watson action, and also the Monterey Mechanical, which I think is on here. All of those were part of the. That's true. That's part of the Barnard one. All of those were discussed. As part of the litigation strategy of the board voted for and ordered termination of those contracts, underlying contracts, on August 3rd. Unfortunately, we don't seem to have a record of that vote. And so in closed session tonight, the board voted on the motion of Member Tacker, seconded by Member Cicina, with a 4-0 vote, to ratify the termination letters that have gone out pursuant to that direction on August 3rd. So that action was taken. In addition, action was taken pursuant to a vote on August 17th to pay the bond money that is due on September 1st by borrowing from the Bank of New York reserve account. And that was discussed and voted upon and authorized on the 17th. And again, because there was no record taken in the closed session, the board has voted this evening to ratify that action on the motion of President Schicker, second by Member Senate, and a vote again of 4-0. Both of these are mere ratifications of action that was taken before, pursuant to motion, second, and vote. By the district, and was not reportable at the time because it was a litigation strategy. Now that the litigation has moved forward and these things have been done and are out in the public, they are being acknowledged, and that's what these votes were about. Other than that, there was no further action taken in closed session. Was authorized to be retained by the district to assist on specific bond matters as they arise.
Thank you. Okay. Again, here now we'll start out with our meeting tonight so you know how we're going to do this. We first have Mr. Jay Michelson here, who is our bankruptcy attorney, and he is going to be making a presentation to everybody. And what we're going to do after his presentation is open it up for questions at the microphone, just questions. And come up and state your question, and then he will be happy to answer your questions. Then we're going to have the public presentation by Ms. Anna Jane Hugh, our CPA. She will give the budget presentation. The Finance Committee will report on their findings and hearing from their hearing on Monday, and then we will have questions from the board, and we will open that up to public comment on the budget. So that's how we've laid out the evening, and I'd like to introduce Mr. Jay Michelson at this time. You would have had it at 4:30 this afternoon. Mrs. Biggs?
Yes. Yes, you could allow public comment. You ordinarily do that with the consent agenda. You allow comment on the closed session and consent, but we don't have a consent agenda at this
tonight.
Time. I think it would be appropriate, though, because the matter that Mr. Michelson is going to be speaking on is the bankruptcy itself, that his comments and questions be concluded before there is comment on the rest of the agenda.
Do you think we should do it between Mr. Michelson and Ms. Anna Jane Hughes' presentation?
That would be appropriate.
Okay. That's what we'll do. We'll have public comment on the closed session agenda between the bankruptcy presentation and the budget presentation. Because we don't have a consent agenda, we will allow for that comment at this time. Okay, so Mr. Michelson, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Madam President, members of the board, and members of the public. Obviously, I've had an opportunity to meet with the board over the last month to discuss the pros and cons of filing of a Chapter 9 bankruptcy. I have explained to the board how it works, why it may be appropriate, so that primarily my comments, I'm here to answer questions. Obviously, you've asked me questions, I've answered them, but the public hasn't had an opportunity to ask me questions. So I thought what I would do is start with the three of the most fundamental questions that might be asked. Was why, and of course I've only been involved in this case for about a month, and so certainly the board and I'm sure the public knows the history and the background. The president has just described the litigation that has ensued from the various wastewater problems. And really, that they became an intolerable burden, as the board well knows, for this rather small district. And the final straw, of course, was the preliminary injunction that was issued by the Superior Court in San Luis Obispo in connection with the action by two of the contractors who are seeking, they claim, damages in excess of, I think it's around $23 million. By virtue of that order of the Superior Court, there was about $2.1 million of the district's money was frozen, and that left the district in a terrible, a very difficult financial situation because, first and foremost, the district has to meet the needs of those people who depend on it for fire, water, and the other services that it provides. So because the sum of that $2.1 million was to reimburse the district for expenses that it had laid out in connection with the wastewater matter, it left the district without reserves to cover some of the potentialities with respect to the other services. It also left the district unable to continue to defend and prosecute the actions that Madam President laid out a moment ago. It also left the district unable, as I understand it, to pursue any further action with respect to evaluating alternatives for the wastewater project. So the question is, you know, what does Chapter 9 do for the district? Primarily, what it does is it provides time without the pressure of these lawsuits that have been brought against the district, which, as I said, the district, as this board well knows, didn't have the ability to defend because its funds were tied up. Chapter 9 creates an automatic stay against the prosecution of those suits and any other suits or claims by creditors against the district. Funds that remain were needed, almost in total, to carry on the other functions that the district has to make sure that all the services that the district has committed to provide are provided and paid for. So I think the decision to file was probably, I think the board, probably was pretty easy for the board to do that. The next fundamental issue is, well, what happens in a Chapter 9 in terms of the ability of the board to continue to provide those services? The Chapter 9 allows this district and any municipality that files under Chapter 9 to continue to operate. And in fact, as opposed to a Chapter 11 reorganization, Chapter 9 specifically provides that the board can operate the district without the close supervision of the court. That means that the district can continue to provide the services, spend the money, and do the things that it needs to do. One of the effects of a Chapter 9, as this board knows, is that all of the obligations of the district that were incurred prior to the filing of the case, which was on August 25th, are put in limbo. It's not only those matters that are in dispute, such as the litigation, but all claims of creditors that were incurred prior to the date of filing are put on hold. On the other hand, the district is required to pay all ongoing operating expenses. And one of the things I know the board considered before making the decision to file was, does this board have sufficient funds to continue the operation of the board? And as the board knows, I advised it that if it didn't have sufficient funds, that Chapter 9 is probably not the right remedy. So after a careful budget analysis, it was determined that there were sufficient funds to continue on and provide the services that the district is obligated to provide. The ultimate question is, how do you get out of Chapter 9? And that's a much more difficult question to answer, because the case will end hopefully with a plan of reorganization by which the district will settle all of its claims. In Chapter 11, the creditors have significantly more control, and in a Chapter 11, creditors must receive at least what they would get if the assets of the debtor were liquidated. And when I talk about a Chapter 11 for everybody's edification, we're talking about a general reorganization. United Airlines is in a Chapter 11 case. And the minimum that you can pay your unsecured creditors in a Chapter 11 is what they would receive if all of the assets were liquidated. Chapter 9 is different. Chapter 9 says that creditors get whatever the district is able to do. What is the district's best efforts? And the matter is so much in flux with regard to AB 2701 and what will happen there, and what is ultimately going to happen to the claims that have been brought by the district, what claims have been brought against the district, that it is difficult at this time to know exactly what form a plan of reorganization might take. The board member, well, when is all this going to happen? Is it going to happen in 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? While it is very difficult to estimate, I think to say that this could all happen within a year would be very optimistic. As I told the board, I was involved in a Chapter 9 for the Ventura Port District. In that case, I represented the major creditor, and that case lasted about 2.5 years before the district came up with a plan of reorganization, which was ultimately approved by the court. So those are the fundamental questions, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have or that the public may have, but again, limited to my area of expertise, and throw it open.
Great. Thanks for that overview and presentation. It's great. How about any
You're
questions
welcome.
From the board? Staff? Any questions from staff? Okay, how we're going to do this is come up, ask one question, and then please sit down, and if you have another one, we'll see how long we can go. So one question at a time. Please come up. Oh, please direct your question to the board, but Jay will answer the question.
Ann Calhoun, Los Osos. The question would be on the September 21st, LAFCO is going to take a vote whether to dissolve the CSD.
Is LAFCO affected by the filing of the Chapter 9? Is the state of California, in connection with the passage of AB 2701, impacted by the filing of the bankruptcy case? And the answer is no. Chapter 9 is quite specific. Chapter 9 provides that each state, and it's this juxtaposition between the state and the federal government. Bankruptcy, of course, is exclusively a federal statute, the sovereignty of the states has to be considered. And in passing Chapter 9, each state has the opportunity to decide whether or not to allow its municipalities to file Chapter 9. And the state of California has enacted a statute that does allow its municipalities to file Chapter 9. But the trade-off for that is that Chapter 9 specifically provides that it cannot interfere with the state's ability to supervise its municipalities. So the answer is quite clear. If the state legislature can pass and the governor can sign AB 2701, and the bankruptcy will have no impact. Same is true for LAFCO. If LAFCO decides to dissolve the district on the 21st, it can do so. The bankruptcy does not impact that. And I presume if it did that, as I understand it, and again, it's a little out of my area, but just from my short experience here, that if they do that, then all of the assets revert to the county, as well as all the liabilities revert to the county. And I think that would happen, and I suspect that would be the end of the Chapter 9.
Okay, next question, please.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I was just wondering what methods there are available to pay for all this mess that we've got ourselves into. Thank you.
That was my third basic question, because we really don't know right now. There are all kinds of dynamics that are possible here. In the sense that everybody wants to see a wastewater facility that can serve this community. There are differences of opinion, obviously, on what it ought to be. If the county takes it over, obviously they'll be charged with that responsibility. How the claims of the contractors fit in with that, we're just not sure now. We really don't know. But again, at the end of the day, let's say the contractor.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Good evening. Carol Camo, Los Osos. I noticed that the law firm of Burke Williams Sorensen is listed as your largest creditor with about $287,000 owed to them. Is this all that's owed to them at this point, or do they have other billables that have been accumulating that have not been presented to the board yet? And if so, what kind of agreements for payments does the CSD have with Burke Williams Sorensen?
I'll ask Ms. Biggs to address the specific question, but you are right. On the list of 20 largest creditors that was filed with the petition, Burke Williams is listed as the largest unsecured creditor. But in fact, the contractors are also listed in the filing, obviously. Their claims are over, one's $11 million, one's $12 million or plus, and they're obviously larger, but they are disputed claims, and so we listed them in an unknown amount. So therefore, they don't actually appear at all on the list of 20 largest. So, it remains to be seen whether Burke Williams is, in fact, the largest unsecured creditor.
Just
just for the record, Burke Williams has submitted bills through July. The figure that is on the chart is through June, so there's about another $100,000 or so to be added to that. In addition, of course, we are the third-party beneficiary under the case and CCLO settlement amounts that have not been paid. So those are still out there as well. And I think collectively they amount to on the order of $250,000.
Okay, the second part of her question, Mrs. Biggs, was do you have any agreements with us about payments at this time?
Yeah. No, certainly not. We are, as indicated, an unsecured creditor, and that's where it is at this point.
Just to add to that and expand it a little bit, one of the things that the district is entitled to do is to engage professionals post-petition and to pay professionals post-petition after the 25th of August. And so while Burke Williams is subject to the same conditions as all the other unsecured creditors, they can't be paid now. They can be paid, and other professionals, the bond counsel, can be paid for post-petition services.
Joe Sparks, Los Osos. AB 2701 prescribes transferring wastewater assets to the county. So can this be contested by the contractors, which would potentially inhibit the county proceeding with the project? And if so, then what are the means for the district to conduct a wastewater project should the county not be able to conduct one? And the other item is Case was listed as a creditor, unless I'm mistaken, for over $200,000 when on the filing that I saw off the CSD website. And was my understanding there was a settlement for $125,000 last November. So can you please explain why that $212,000 is listed in the Chapter 9 filing? Thanks.
Thank you.
I'd like to address that, and I'm glad that Mr. Sparks brought it up, because there was an error in the preparation of that. There was a transposition of what was due CCLO and what was due Case. CCLO is, in fact, the entity that is currently due under the settlement agreements, the $212,000 figure. Case is currently due under the settlement agreements, $27,000. You may recall that there were five cases that were settled. One was the Measure B one for $125,000. The remaining four included one for Case and three for CCLO, and there was a payment schedule set up to pay that amount over a year's time. Some of that has been paid. There was the freezing of the funds, however, precluded any further payment, and as a result, what you're seeing is what is remaining due from the settlement agreement that was entered into in November.
And just to let everyone know, the next thing that will happen in terms of documents, well, there's something called a statement of qualifications, which kind of lays out many of the facts with regard to this case, which will be filed tomorrow. Within the next couple of weeks, there will be filed with the court, and I guess someone's picking this up on a website, the link, what they call schedules and statement of financial affairs, which are filed in every bankruptcy case, which is a listing of assets and liabilities and certain historical financial information, the more detailed. The filing that you see right now is what we call an emergency filing, which has absolutely the minimal things that you need to just to get the case started.
We don't know. Okay.
It's not just
documents are available, but you have to subscribe to a service called PACER, and then you can pick up all of the court documents, but that's not generally available without a subscription.
Thank you. My main question is, you said that the lawsuits, I don't want to get this wrong, but they are on hold. Does that mean that the scheduled hearings for them will not take place, and the regular schedule of procedures are frozen?
Yes. With respect to those lawsuits that were brought against the district, not with respect to those lawsuits that were brought by the district.
Thank you.
Who else would like to ask a question? Ms. Cooper?
Hi. I had a question. I was wondering the impact of bankruptcy on properties such as Tri-W, the selling or the transfer of the property to the county. That's a general question. Or any properties.
Well, the bankruptcy, the district can deal with its assets,
mm-hmm.
okay, as though the bankruptcy in effect didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not the district has the right, absent a bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
To sell Tri-W or any other assets, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not equipped to answer that, but your direct question, the impact of the bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
The bankruptcy would have no impact. The district can sell what it can sell, but I don't mm-hmm. know what it can sell.
Okay, and does it have any effect on transferring to the county? I mean, if the project goes to the county, does the bankruptcy have any effect on transfer of property?
Well, if it goes as a result of the passage of AB 2701, the answer is no. The bankruptcy would have no impact.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Dugan, next question.
Hey, Dugan, Los Osos. So my understanding is, and it's the way I believe it should work, is at least for a while, the CSD can make pain. Makes sense to me. And I don't know what it affects to the ACLs or anything. I think it has nothing to do with any of that, but allows you to actually do the business of the district. And that's why I support bankruptcy, but thank you for clarifying.
Thank you. Mr. Danker, did you have a question?
Good evening, President Schicker and Attorney Michelson. The question I'm asked by friends is, relating to property, but it relates to private property, is does this bankruptcy drop a big wet cloud or a damp moldy blanket over our properties in the form of a giant lien, which interferes with our ability to borrow or sell or whatever?
No.
There is no transference to the citizen. The citizens will not be a source of any of the money to dig us out of this hole.
Not as a result directly of the bankruptcy, no. What form the plan ultimately takes, I can't say at this time. But the bankruptcy itself doesn't create any lien or blanket or encumbrance or hindrance with respect to the property within the district.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Albright, you have a question?
Thank you. Joyce Albright. Did you say that we will have a chance to address what you've previously said about the litigation? Okay. And will we be able to make just a regular comment about this financial state of town in a later time?
Bankruptcy is part of the closed session agenda that we reported out on.
So if we want to make a public statement of 3 minutes, the way we usually do in these meetings, is that forbidden for us to do?
No, I mean, I think the board is going to decide how many minutes we want to have for this one item. But right now, this is just questions.
You mean, so later we will be able to have a 3-minute public statement on whatever subject we choose to make. Is that correct?
I just want to check with the board. Okay, you can put the microphone down now.
I have another question.
If you want to ask a question for Mr. Michelson, you can do that now.
Are you ever going to answer the other question?
When you sit down, I'm going to answer that question.
Okay, thank you. I would like to know how much money has been paid to Brooks, Williams, and Sorensen and to Will Dan in the past, and how much we owe for the future.
I'm not sure if I have an accurate number on that. The district, I believe, has paid on the order from December to the present time of $500,000 to Burke Williams for its representation of the district. As indicated, and I do have the numbers that you have, and I think that they are probably more accurate than ours, on the settlement agreements there is an additional $300,000 due, and unpaid to us currently is about, with the July billings, and there will be August billings as well, it's on the order of another $500,000.
Okay, and for the benefit of the audience, our next public regular meeting, it will be on September 21st. After the LAFCO hearing that evening, we will have our regular meeting. We're having a special meeting on September 14th to talk about water, all the issues about water. And that's more like a workshop setting. And our regular meeting where you have general public comment will be on September 21st. This is our fifth meeting this month. We have had a regular session earlier this month. This is our fifth meeting, and we need to have a little time off ourselves, and we will be having our next meetings on the 14th and the 21st of September.
Madam President, may I make a comment with respect to the Burke Williams firm? As I've indicated, I am a bankruptcy lawyer, and as a bankruptcy lawyer, my expertise is fairly narrow. And in a case like this, we need a wide range of legal expertise. And one of the things that I said to the board in private session was, I can't do this alone. There has to be a team of professionals. And I know the board's resources are very limited. How are we going to deal with that? And there was a representative of Burke Williams at the meeting. And one of the reasons I said it was because I knew that Burke Williams was owed a bunch of money. And frankly,
I just don't think that people realize the amount that Burke Williams and Sorensen has stuck out their neck of risk for this community. They are in it for the long haul. They have not been paid in a long time, and they're still here. Okay, next question, please. Sandy, flip the switch.
There is a concern that one of the amendments on 2701, withdrawing all of the real estate from the 2701 bill, may commit the voters to paying for another sewer site if real estate is not included or given to the county to work with. The CSD currently owns, 28 parcels of real estate. What's going to happen with that real estate due to this bankruptcy?
I am certainly no expert on 2701. I have read it, and it seems to me it is limited, and I would ask members of the board or anybody else who has better knowledge than I, but it seems to me that it is limited to those assets that are directly related to the wastewater. Now, when you say 20-some-odd parcels, my familiarity is somewhat limited. Are there 27 that are related to wastewater, or those are in total?
Well, no, there are 28 parcels total that are owned by the CSD.
Oh, okay.
And if the CSD is filing bankruptcy, what's going to happen to that? To that property, what generally happens in bankruptcy to real estate?
Okay, putting 2701 aside, because that, at least as it's written, as I understand it, mm-hmm. that would affect the parcels that are related to the wastewater development. So, with respect to all of the other assets, those assets remain with the district and will continue to be used by the district to provide the services that it is committed to provide. And the bankruptcy will not interfere with that, nor ultimately will any plan be dependent upon using those parcels to the extent they're needed for services for anything else. So
and perhaps I can illustrate that by this Pork District case. By the district to provide services, they're not going anywhere. Period.
So the bankruptcy proceedings will not jeopardize that real estate, and in a sense, will not jeopardize real estate that the CSD would then retain the power to.
Yeah, to the extent it needs that real estate to provide the services, it won't be touched. And that gets back to what I was saying before about best efforts. Best efforts in this context is not liquidating assets. I mean, they may have some very valuable real estate that they're using for their water services. But they can't sell those because then they can't provide the water services. So even though there might be money tied up there that could ultimately benefit creditors if they were sold, that would be at the expense of the district's ability to provide the services. That's not going to happen.
But other real estate that isn't related to water services or sewer services would be in jeopardy because of the bankruptcy.
Only excess real estate that wasn't needed, and I don't know that you have any that's not needed. If it's needed for services, it won't be touched. If it's just sitting there and it's not being used, excess land. Let's say there's excess land out there and it's worth, you know, $2 million. Well, yeah, the creditors might say, yeah, you're not using that land. You have no use for it. Let's sell that and, you know, pay us the $2 million. That wouldn't be unreasonable. But if you're using it to provide water or whatever, you know, fire, what have you, they're not going to make you sell your firehouses. Am I clear about that?
Yes.
I mean,
and if it had been granted to San Luis Obispo County, then it would have been protected from that activity, perhaps, or
well, to the extent it's being used, it doesn't need any protection because it's not going to be touched.
Okay. Could we need to get everyone a chance for questions? We had agreed one question per person, and then we'll go around again if we need to. Anybody else? Next question.
Hi. I guess my question has to do with, again, there's a lot of confusion over the transfer of property that occurs and when that occurs and how the county will carry out a project. And so the dissolution and then also 2701, I'm not real clear on the sequence of events. I guess the first step is that you're filing something next week. And that'll give us a better idea of the schedule?
Not really, no. What we're filing next week is merely a listing of assets, liabilities, certain historical financial information. It has nothing to do with the ultimate plan of reorganization here. It's much, much, much too early for that. Mm-hmm. When I said at least a year, I don't know. Again, depends on what the county decides to do, which direction the county goes with respect to developing a system, and how these contracts that are out, these contractors who have made claims, how they fit into that picture. There are a lot of unknowns here.
So the question about how LAFCO fits in, if Monterey Mechanical is bankrolling the dissolution with Ms. Albright, then it's kind of a conflict for them. If they go through a dissolution, then it just, I don't know. I see that as being a real interesting issue on the 21st of September. But the Chapter 9 does not take any of that into account forward with their plan. Is that right?
The only question was, is LAFCO impacted by the bankruptcy? Is it precluded from taking action to dissolve? The answer is no.
Okay.
If LAFCO decides to dissolve, it assumes all the liabilities. So really the need for the Chapter 9 goes away. I mean, the county will now stand behind all the liabilities, whatever they might be.
And the contractors all get paid in that case.
Well, I don't...
depending on whether the county decides to... Yeah, okay.
Okay.
It's the county's problem. They'll have to deal with it as they see fit. I don't know what the county...
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I doubt that they just start writing checks.
Yeah, well... Yeah, thank you.
Okay, next question, please.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. My question is this bankruptcy hearing in the bankruptcy, the state, U.S. in Santa Barbara in that new courthouse on State Street?
Correct. Any hearings in this case will be conducted in the bankruptcy court, which is on State Street in Santa Barbara. Correct.
I'm trying to think. I can't remember the lady judge's name.
Robin Riblett.
Will she handle this case, too?
She will.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Has everybody had a chance to ask a question who wanted to? We're on the first round of question here.
Hi. Frank Cilio, resident of Los Osos. Can I explain a little bit about, does the federal court now take over those lawsuits, or they adjudicate them, or do they stay in superior court and will eventually be adjudicated and then have to go back to federal court to deal with the amount of money that's being sought or being awarded in those lawsuits? And will the $2.7 million now be the jurisdiction of the federal court?
Oh.
And no longer the federal? I mean, no more the state court?
Oh, you've asked some very insightful questions. let's take the first one. That is, with respect to the lawsuits that are pending in the Superior Court, does the bankruptcy court take jurisdiction over those? And the answer is, they could ultimately be decided by either court. And it is a matter of tactics, if you will, as to what court they end up in, and I really don't want to discuss our tactics at this point, but either court is capable of deciding how much, if anything, is owed to the plaintiffs. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 2.1, as I understand it, that is subject to the preliminary injunction. The preliminary injunction is still in force, and the fact that the bankruptcy is filed does not change that. Again, I don't want to go heavily into tactics, but I will tell you that the district has a need for those funds. They were intended to replace, in our view, funds that the district advanced on behalf of the wastewater project, and we intend to take that issue before the court, bankruptcy court.
Okay, thank you. Next question, please. Oh, could everybody state their name? I keep forgetting to ask. Just quick question, quick name. Mm-hmm.
Lynette Tornotsky, Los Osos. Two quick questions. One, Mr. Mickelson, you mentioned that there were unsecured contracts. Are there also secured contracts?
Not in the classical sense, there are not. The only, and there may be more than one, and again, my familiarity with all of the facts here are somewhat limited by the time I've been involved and my ability to absorb all of this, but we know there is one that is, I would call it quasi-secured, and that are the bonds that were issued in connection with the wastewater project are, in effect, secured, not in the classic sense, but they are serviced by a specific task.
So I don't think we're going to see it anyway. My other question was, how long could this drag out? I mean, suppose we actually get a wastewater treatment plant. There will be revenue coming in from that. Could that be used to pay off the debt?
Remains to be seen.
Thank you.
That remains to be seen. That
Thank
is a
you.
Possibility.
Anybody else have one question? Okay, if anybody has one more quick question, come on up, ask it, and sit back down so we can keep going.
Al Barrow, my question is the property that was purchased through the bond money, what is the condition on that property as it relates to, it was, the assessment was for wastewater and wastewater related expenses, and properties have been purchased with that money.
Well, it would appear to all be moot if 2701 passes and is enforceable, because it would seem as though that's an asset that would then pass to the county as being directly related to the wastewater facility. That's as much as I know at this point.
Okay. Any other questions? Mm-hmm.
Maria Kelly, Los Osos. You've mentioned a couple times historical accountings. I'm just curious what time frame, what range you're using historical, how thorough?
Well, accountings is probably a more expansive term than what you're going to see on these documents, because they're rather conclusionary in nature. without a whole lot of backup. But they are, by and large, cover the last couple of years.
Okay. Ms. Calhoun?
Quick question. As part of the bankruptcy filing and so forth, there will be a judge overseeing, and I guess he will monitor payment.
She
overseeing, a judge will be overseeing. Oh, he,
she,
it, them, they. Is part of the process, does it any involve in any way any kind of forensic auditing or a thorough examination of certain, say, cases to see if they have merit or not? That they have a third party kind of overlooking everything that has gone down here, or is it just up for grabs?
The answer is no, there is nobody that is appointed to oversee the, you know, forensic counting.
I failed to give my name the first time. I'm Stuart Danker, Los Osos. Mr. Michelson, as an expert in working with bankruptcy, what is your experience with the measurable effect on the perceived worthiness of the entity called the LOCSD? If and when the district emerges from the shadowlands of bankruptcy, will we have trouble making contracts in the future? Will it be viewed with great suspicion? Will we be pariahs in the
in the bond market,
the Central Coast?
Well, you know, it's hard to know. We know where we are today, and it is not a pretty picture, as you all know. And if we are able to propose and confirm a plan of reorganization, it will mean that this district's financial house is in order. How strong it is at that point, I don't know, but it will be in a position to manage, by virtue of the plan, manage its indebtedness and continue to provide services. So it will certainly be a whole lot better than it is today. How strong it would be, I don't know, of course.
Okay, anybody else? Quick questions? Come on up.
Yeah, I had a follow-up question about property. If there's property that is germane to the wastewater is sold, and it's sold so other property can be bought, once a property is sold that's, say, wastewater-related, does it have to pay for the creditors, or can it go for other property? For a wastewater property, if it's bought by bond money?
You know, I don't really know the answer to that question. My understanding at this point is that, for example, the Tri-W site, there are mm-hmm. no restrictions, there are no recorded restrictions mm-hmm. with respect to that property.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I am not, certainly not an expert with respect to what strings came mm-hmm. with the purchase mm-hmm. of
right.
that property and whether they inhibit mm-hmm. the sale and use of that money for other than mm-hmm. a wastewater facility.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is I really don't know.
I guess what I'm saying is, does any, even wastewater property, does it automatically satisfy, have to go to satisfy creditors, I guess is what my question is.
I think it comes back to that. Are these assets needed to provide the services the district is obligated to provide?
Uh-huh.
And I would certainly think that any land that was purchased
right.
for the purpose of uh-huh. a wastewater facility would fall into that category and wouldn't fall into the category of excess land that could be sold to pay
okay.
creditors.
Okay. Okay.
You can't build a wastewater facility without a site.
Okay. Thank you. That clarifies. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to be closing public comment on this item for right now, bringing it back to the board for some additional questions. Dr. Tacker, did you have some?
I did. Somebody mentioned ACLs, and those are the fines levied by the regional board. And I wondered if you could answer the question. Is the regional board on that list of major creditors that the amounts are unknown? Or
as I understand it,
As I understand it, that is subject to appeal at the moment. One of the interesting concepts in Chapter 9 that differentiates it from the other chapters in bankruptcy is that the concept of dischargeability of debt does not apply in Chapter 9. If this were a Chapter 11 and this were a fine and it was ultimately upheld on appeal so that there was a fine, that would be a non-dischargeable debt which would have to be paid in full. That concept doesn't apply in Chapter 9. So if, worst case, the fine was upheld, it would be treated like any other unsecured debt.
Back to the ability for the district to pay it, or
exactly.
the best effort of the district to pay it.
Exactly, subject to the district's best effort to pay it, along with any other debts that might exist.
That brings me some comfort. Thank you.
Director Sennett?
Yes, Mr. Michelson, I had a question in regard to our joint defense of the CDOs. If the bankruptcy would prevent us from helping in the defense of those CDOs and other actions that the Water Board has cast on the community, would that somehow stay any action, since we're a contractive part in this defense and might be able to intertwine that?
I think perhaps, bearing in mind that Mr. Michelson has only been with us for a month, that this may be a little beyond his range. But the regional board has, in the past, initiated actions against randomly selected property owners within the district for attempting to impose cease and desist orders. And the district obtained designated party status and, in fact, pursued a defense on the basis that to the extent that the properties owned individually were affected, that would have an effect on the district and its ability to function. So the designated party status gives the district a defense posture, if you will, in those actions. And then I think maybe that you can answer that.
Yeah, that helps. And so what the question is, can the district continue to do that, to fund those defenses, right? Is that it?
Not exactly.
Okay.
My question was that if, based on our bankruptcy, we could not adequately defend those actions, in support of the community's defense, in that would affect the defense of the community, would that stay those actions against the individuals as well?
The answer is, generally, the answer is no. Third parties, these individuals would be third parties, not parties to the bankruptcy, would not be affected by the automatic stay. I think that's pretty clear. On the other hand, if we can structure an argument that this directly impacts, these suits directly impact the district, we can go to the bankruptcy court and ask the bankruptcy court to impose a stay against those actions. And I don't know enough about them right now and the impact on the district to say whether that would be successful or not, but it's something that we could certainly explore.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the board at this time? I think that was a really helpful, good presentation. I thank the audience for their participation and asking some really good questions, and thank Mr. Michelson and Mrs. Biggs for providing information. What's next? When will we hear from you again? What happens next? Maybe just a little futuristic discussion, if you could, please.
Well, again, Chapter 9 is a rather unusual one. We'll look at this issue with respect to not whether we should seek a stay with respect to the action against the individual homeowners. I suspect that the judge will set a status conference in the fairly near future, in which she will have the parties before her, and she will try to develop some insight. I mean, right now she is in blissful ignorance because all she has seen is this one-page petition, and she has, unless she's been reading the newspapers over the last couple of years, she has no bloody idea what's going on. So she's going to want to find out what's going on sooner rather than later. So I suspect that'll happen. Those are the things that I see on the immediate horizon.
Okay. That sounds good to me. I just had one final question, and maybe it doesn't have to be asked, but I'm going to. On September 21st, we have our hearing with LAFCO decide whether we dissolve or not. If the board, the LAFCO Commission, decides to dissolve us, that's really not the end of it, because the citizens can petition, and so there would be still a vote and stuff. So that kind of just continues on.
Yes, that question. That certainly is correct. As a matter of fact, I was noting that earlier that it's a misconception to think that the district would be dissolved on September 21st. Action could be taken, and there would be a response time and so on.
Just a clarification for the audience, too, that that vote by that commission would not be the end of the decision. There would be no dissolving on that day. So the Chapter 9 would carry on until a final decision would be made, right? All functions of the district. Okay, and just another reassurance for the audience, and I think Mr. Michelson, just tell me if I'm going off base here, but all of us, this board, and I know our citizens, have a great concern to make sure that all of our other services are continuing. That includes our fire and our water and our trash and all of those things. And those are very important for us. Those essential services, those emergency services, are essential, and we want to make sure that they are continued. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that that is number one priority. True?
There's no question, and I mean, again, I think that the Chapter 9 was the ability to continue to provide services, one of the chief motivators for filing the Chapter 9.
What we'd like to do right now is do consent, well, not really consent, but public comment on the closed session agenda. I'm proposing 2 minutes apiece. Does everybody agree? Anybody who wants to comment on the closed session agenda, we're going to do that, and then we'll take a break. 2 minutes apiece. Come on up. Yeah, just on what we reported out of closed session, the actions of what we reported out.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I want to talk about lawyers. You've gone and hired some more lawyers. How much money have you spent on lawyers? When will it end? Your name is on one side or the other of every lawsuit. Part of the lawsuits were initiated by you, and the others were brought on by your actions on these lawsuits that you are defending against. The CSD did have a way to pay the contractors. It was via the SRF loan. Your actions caused the loan to be withdrawn. The outcome of the lawsuits and actions over the last year, these actions were your actions. You don't want to take responsibility for anything. You keep saying it was other people's fault. Your repetition does not make it so. This whole mess is due to your actions. How much do we have to pay for the bond consultants for their services? There was no public input into this hiring. Shouldn't this have been done in open session? Why did you choose these lawyers and not some other ones? What was your reasoning in keeping everything secret until it was already cast in stone? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else want to comment? Closing public comment on our closed session agenda. I'm going. Oh, Ms. Albright's coming up, and somebody else is coming up. Sorry. I just want to add one point of quick comment. We would not have lost the state revolving fund loan if we had not gone to construction until December 20th, 2005. We have it on tape. We were in Sacramento. We heard it from the horse's mouth. We could have amended this project. We could have kept going. We would have not. I'm not asking, Mr. Bearden, my turn. We could have amended this project if we did not go to construction 20 days before a recall election when the people decided a different direction. That is from Mr. Paul Hemus and the State Water Board directly. We have it
about that. Also, you were told repeatedly over and over by many agencies that if you stopped the project, you would lose the loan. And you were told over and over and over again that if you stopped the project, the Regional Quality Control Board would act. They had waited for 30 years. We are listening to your hyperbole over and over and over again, and repeating it does not make it so. The truth will out. You people have bankrupted this community. I agree with everything Don Bearden said. And as far as Gail's remark goes about the contractors funding Taxpayers Watch, that is absolutely ridiculous. 3,400 people are supporting the dissolution of this board. Not the contractors' money, the people.
Okay, this is just public comment on closed session, report out of closed session. This is not any general, just anything out of legal closed session. Do you have a public comment about that?
Thank you for everything that you've done for this community. That's all I have to say.
Very much. Thank you. Mr. Moylan.
Excuse me.
Ms. Goodard?
Can the speakers please state their name for the record?
Yes. We forgot to keep asking.
My name is Bill Moylan. And I live in the Prohibition Zone. And I would like to say that, let me review some facts. There was an SRF loan for a specific site. However, we had until December 20th to actually start construction. So if we didn't start construction, then none of that loan would have been spent. So, let's see, if you add two and two together, you get four, not six. It's unfortunate that construction was started knowing that there was a recall election, knowing that there was a Measure B going to be voted upon, knowing that Measure B might have passed, knowing that Tri-W would have not been the site, and then an SRF loan could have been renegotiated for a different site. Hence, no fines, no lawsuits. So I'm just wondering why there was such a rush to judgment on that Tri-W site. I think you've been extremely honest and fair as far as the way you've dealt with the people and with the situation that you've been dealt. And I hope that you continue in the...
That they didn't have a blank check, and that was the only thing the Tribune ever quoted me on, and I guess a lot of people got a laugh out of that. But I did end up helping to take the checkbook away from him. Now we have our friendly Blakesley, who now wants to turn our project over to the county and give them our blank checkbook. And to give you an idea what $30,000 will buy in legislation, Barnyard Construction donated $11,000, and the owner's wife donated $11,000 to $15,000 each, which is the maximum you can donate, to Mr. Blakesley's re-election fund. So that's where the money is getting re-elected. And that bought a line in the legislation that said the county can rehire the CSD's old contractors. I think that probably has something to do with that donation. This whole thing, by the way, people start talking about we got a problem and we're going to solve our problem. This is an alleged problem. It's never been proven. It's based on false data, fraudulent data from illegal test wells, and we have people running to take Mrs. Bianchi's place on our board of supervisors to represent us, going around telling the newspaper that we're polluting the bay, and they don't know a damn thing about it. Excuse me. Sorry, my French. My time's up. Thank you.
Let's stick to the closed session report out from closed session. And the amounts, by the way, Mr. Payne, on those amounts from Mr. Blakesley aren't correct. It's $6,600, and that was the max, $3,300 per person. That's the max that's required. So just want to make sure that that's corrected. Okay. Yes.
Hi. Okay. Carol Camo, county resident, 26 years, Los Osos Prohibition Zone homeowner, 12 years. Under your direction, this community has become bankrupt. I urge you to please use caution and avoid making decisions in a panic mode.
I urge you not to make any decisions to liquidate district assets before an audit has been done and a bankruptcy plan is approved by the court. I would like to see a forensic audit done to determine whether public money that was to be held in trust has been inappropriately spent. I question the advice you have been given by Wildan and by the law firm Burke. I'm compelled to remind you that under pending litigation, there are two taxpayers' watch lawsuits, one for Measure B and one against you for spending public funds inappropriately. Why do you continue to waste our money trying to defend Measure B? The majority of homeowners are against it at this point. It has resulted in CDOs, and you and your lawyers have lost credibility across the state because of this. This board now has the legacy of bankrupting this community. And it's occurred due to your decisions and choices. Take responsibility. You've bankrupted us. Please consider resigning.
Next speaker, please.
My name is Claire Downs, Los Osos. I would like to know how much of a lien we're going to expect on our homes, and if any of you know. And Director Sennett and Director Cesena, I want to know how you can run for office when you have already bankrupted the entire your community. How can you come back and do this again? You've done enough harm. It's time for you to leave. You're incompetent.
Okay, this is about the closed session items again. And once again, Mr. Michelson answered that question, Ms. Downs, about liens on property. There are none. Okay, yes, sir.
Pat Ryan of Los Osos. I just want to hear how the bond payment that's due tomorrow, how it's going to be paid. Thank you.
Yes, sir. The bond payment is going to be paid out of our reserve, and there's a borrowing arrangement and agreement that's being produced, and all parties are on board. Mr. Barrow?
Thank you. Number one, I want to say that after a lot of, you know, shadowy decision making, this is refreshing to hear an open and complete discussion about the bankruptcy. A lot of people wanted to hear it before you made the decision, but I understand there's some closed session issues regarding that, and I think it would be good if you would clarify why you didn't hold us before. I mean, I think I understand, but I think others don't. The other thing is I'd like to see the legal team drop their opposition to the 218 Lotta lawsuit, because I think it will benefit you in 1951. And he's very adamant about, very sympathetic with our position here. And I was wondering if it would be possible for the two attorneys to have a conference call. They're planning on going before the judge on the 8th. I would like to find out if that's possible, and I would be happy to arrange that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper.
Oh, okay. I just want to make a brief comment about bankruptcy. Revisiting, I guess, ancient history people brought up to blame this board for bankruptcy. And I guess I feel they're ignoring essential facts, which is this board negotiated with the state to find an equitable compromise. And they did compromise in good faith. And the water board is actually the one who has put our board in this situation, because they refused to accept their own negotiated compromise, which would have actually, the collection system would have been underway. They probably would have had a Tri-W. I mean, they were going to look at alternatives. I'm just saying, everything that these people come up and want to blame the board for is actually, you should be blaming, if you're going to blame anybody, blame the state board. They're the ones that pulled the rug out from under this board. So I'd like people to get the facts straight. It's hard to ignore those facts. I don't know how you can do it, because that's what happened. So I wish to set the record straight. That's exactly what happened. This board negotiated, the state reneged on a negotiated agreement, which there was no chance for these people. There was no compromise. They accepted what the state board put out, and the state board took it back. They reneged. So let's get that straight and stop politicking. Thank you.
Anybody else like to speak? Mr. Cooper?
Bo Cooper. Lacey is absolutely right about all the things she says, so I just want to amen that and just be real clear about that. I was actually thinking about the process more. You all, the board, and I have disagreed about certain approaches to things and so on, but not one of you has a mean bone in your body. Every one of you has a real sincere effort to help, to work for the good of the community. I have nothing but good feelings towards you. Even if I fight you, it's a good family argument, and I appreciate that, and I know you do too. But you guys are great, and
doesn't agree with the audits that are presented, that the board be prepared that a Chapter 9 be denied. It's just a request, just on responsible operations. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak? This is still on the closed session items. 2 minute comment.
Hey, Chris Albiel, Sosos. I got here an hour late, so I don't know if you've already talked about this or not. But from what I've heard in the time that I've been here, is that the CDOs are kind of being left in the lurch here. And what I'd like to know, if you're under bankruptcy, as you know, the last CDO hearings we had, the CSD was in there with us. We used CSD attorneys to defend ourselves, whatever. Under a bankruptcy situation, will you still be able to do that? And if not, who decides whether that can be done or not? And, I mean, we're looking at... Well, gee, guys, we can't defend you because we're in bankruptcy, and then we're looking at $10,000 a day. So, you know, I don't know if you guys have talked about this or not. I'm a little disturbed that we didn't have public hearings on this bankruptcy thing. And we got a pretty smart audience out here. You can get, I just don't know what the ramifications are. As far as the Blakeslee bill, I don't know why the county even wanted to get into it, unless it's to, you know, set up a blocking position against all the permits they issued to build houses that the CDOs are paying the penalties for now.
Thank you. Mrs. Biggs, do you have anything to add about that for Mr. Allaby?
Well, I think we did discuss a little bit earlier the ability of the district to go forward with regard to CDOs as a designated party, as we did before. And Mr. Michelson's comment was simply that we would have to look at that when that comes up. Obviously, it depends on the resources that are available at that time. And that would be true in bankruptcy or without bankruptcy. The question is, you know, what are the resources to go forward?
Who actually makes the decision or what group? Whether we get defended or we have to...
It would be a decision made by the board with the advice of counsel and potentially by the bankruptcy court, depending on how that comes in. So the short answer is we don't know yet.
If I understand correctly, we're going to get a loan to basically pay on a loan. Can you tell us what the terms of that loan are? Thank you.
I think I'd rather wait for Mrs. Anna Jane Hugh, our CPA, to explain it better. But the brief explanation is our reserves were borrowed last summer in 2005 to front the cost for the wastewater project. That set in effect a cascade of effects that put us behind all the way until the funds were frozen in February 2006. So we've always been behind because our reserves were borrowed and then we spent monies to cover wastewater expenses. So it'll all come out in the budget hearing when we get to it, so you can see it. And we have some audits over there that you're welcome to look at. The bond audit, our reserves audit, and our budgets, but we'll answer some of these questions in detail. And she's going to present all of that in our next part of the hearing. So that, and then the part of question about the loan, Mrs. Biggs or anybody, can you answer? Could you repeat that part of the question? I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the second part of the question.
I was just wondering what the terms of the loan are. the loan to pay off the loan that is due tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The terms are being worked out as we speak between the bond counsel that we just hired tonight, our CPA, and our other attorneys, and MBIA, which is the insurance company that secures the bond payment, and the bonding company itself. So all of those people are in contact, and like I said, things are in motion and work and progressing correctly, according to law. Okay, does anybody else have comments on the closed session? Closing public comment, 10-minute break. See you back for the budget hearing. We're going to reconvene and have the budget presentation.
I wanted to start this evening by introducing myself and telling you a little bit about myself, how I came to be attached to the district, and here tonight presenting your budget. My name is Anna Jane Hugh, and I'm a CPA. I've been practicing accounting on the Central Coast for approximately 20 years, 13 of those as a CPA. I currently have my own practice that is actually in software and business consulting. And that is how I came to be associated with the district in 2003 for the accounting admin services manager, Lynn Kornbaum. I did a special project on timekeeping software. And then in May of 2004, when Lynn was no longer there, I was asked to come in to assist with some software and accounting issues. And then as Pat McClenahan became the ASM, then I stayed on at Bruce Buell's request as a sort of a higher level consultant on both software, business, and accounting issues. When Pat was no longer with the district, then the staff called me once again to come in as a just sort of an interim fill-in as they tried to find a temporary ASM, which they did in Kathleen Shoemaker. But she had a medical issue and had to leave the district, and so currently I'm it. And I want you to know as I present this budget to you this evening that the overall assumption, as Mr. Michelson said, is that we are going to continue at the same level of service and just under bankruptcy, and that will change some things. And so I'm going to do sort of an overall review of some of the assumptions, go across some of the funds. I have up here a consolidated summary budget that includes all the funds. I have to keep it large so that you can see it at all, but you do have this in your packet. I'm not going to go through this in detail. I will just allow, as you ask questions, I'll be able to highlight particular things in here. Okay. This budget provides for the same level of service as previously, but does not allow for any unnecessary capital outlays, contingencies, or increases in reserves. In most cases, reserve balances are recommended to be reduced due to shortfalls in the 05-06 fiscal year and expected extraordinary expenses in 06-07. Personnel expenses are based on current levels of staffing, which are reduced, with the $1,000. The request to the fire department that they increase the special fire tax to the maximum was in order to be able to reallocate that amount of property tax back to the district to cover administrative costs. Additional expenses for legal and contract management for the wastewater fund must be included in that budget as direct expenses, but they are not at this time funded. So you will see a negative budget for the wastewater fund. Legal expenses previously allocated amongst various funds have been reduced due to the bankruptcy filing. The requirement is that these fees be included in the admin fund. $714,268 will be withdrawn on September 1st, 2006 from the bond reserve account at Bank of New York in order to pay the September 2nd, 2006 bond payment. Now I'll go into some of the assumptions on the specific funds. The administrative fund is generally funded through transfers from the various other operating funds. With the exception of the Park Fund, Fund 900, all funds contribute to the admin overhead if they are able. Last fiscal year, Fund 700 was unable to contribute. This fiscal year, Funds 400 and 600 will not be able to contribute. The admin fund provides overall management, occupancy, computer systems, accounting, legal, consulting, communication, and insurance as it pertains to the district as a whole. The district has faced a number of extraordinary changes over the course of the past fiscal year, and that has incurred a large amount of legal fees as well as contract fees for Will Dan and for even people like myself. These costs have created an almost $500,000 shortfall in the admin fund for the 05-06 year. That number may increase as the fiscal year is finalized and audited. The district is able to continue operating from current revenue sources, but reserve balances will need to be reduced in response to these shortfalls. Balancing of the admin fund has been accomplished through tightening of costs across all funds, delaying of capital projects, and reductions in transfers to sinking funds. The bankruptcy filing will allow the district to function under this budget with some temporary cash relief. The overall budget for admin looks like it has increased, but if you look at the detailed chart for the admin fund, you will see that the legal fees have been increased by $200,000 over the 05-06 budget, and that so therefore the overall expense for issues related to those fines. Most of Bay Ridge's budget is provided by a static service charge fee, so revenue has not kept up with increasing costs. The amount it is able to contribute to the admin fund will decrease to $2,260 for the 06-07 fiscal year. You will find that legal costs have not been budgeted at a higher amount for Bay Ridge because that is one of the ones that it was required to be transferred with the bankruptcy filing over to the admin fund. The fire fund, I will leave most questions to be directed towards Phil Venerius, but the budget for the fire fund was left intact, and there were then a few changes made by the LOCSD, so I wanted to point those out specifically to clarify that. The fire department had agreed that a capital outlay project in the amount of about $67,000 could be delayed by a year or two, and so that budget item was reduced to zero, and that additional amount will be transferred to admin. Due to the reallocation of overall LOCSD personnel costs, there will just be a lower amount of that LOCSD personnel allocated to the fire department. And that's, once again, that's because you have contractors who are filling in for these positions instead of staff. And in addition, we have reduced the transfer to the sinking fund for buildings and vehicles by approximately $20,000. Fund 400, Vista de Oro, is another subdivision in Los Osos, has a dedicated septic system, provides the same thing, septic management, stormwater drainage, street and open space management. Last fiscal year, Vista de Oro had a shortfall of $12,000, but the budgeted shortfall was actually $25,000, so it wasn't as bad as expected. It's my understanding that some of these areas had intentional shortfalls and transfers, you know, reductions in their reserves in the understanding that the wastewater project would be coming online. The Water Utility Department, as you know, is responsible for water delivery services in a portion of the town. Water revenues fell short of projections last year by $230,000. According to utilities manager George Milanes, this was due to a cool summer last year and a wet spring this year. As I'm sure you understand, water revenues are a little more difficult to estimate than county property tax revenue balance to account for the shortfall last year and a higher percentage of transfer to admin this year. The CIEDB loan, I know, is a concern of a lot of people because it is increasing, it's upgrading the water infrastructure for the town. This loan is still available through the fiscal year, but due to cash constraints, it's just difficult at this point to continue too much. We will request for an extension in the spring. The increased transfer to the admin fund from the Water Department is made possible by funding the backhoe purchased through iBank and from lower than expected iBank interest payments because the loan has not been drawn down as expected. The wastewater project fund number 600 has mostly been zeroed out. There are, as I mentioned before, some very specific legal and contractual expenses that are required to be shown directly in that fund, so therefore it does show a negative. The funds that normally show as wastewater assessments coming into the fund 600 and then paying the bond interest and principal will in the near future be directly from the county to the Bank of New York and will not flow through the district's accounts. Solid waste number 650 provides trash cleanup and recycling services. The actual contract is through Mission Country Disposal, and LOCSD receives a franchise fee. LOCSD is required by contract to provide certain other services like chipping and cleanup days. The grant ended that funded part of those, and so the CSD will have to take on a larger percentage of the solid waste budget. The Solid Waste Fund has not in recent years used all of its budget expenses, and so it will actually transfer a larger amount to the admin fund this year. Number 700, Cabrillo. Cabrillo Fund is for lighting and is an area funded mostly by property tax revenues with a small service charge fee. This fund did not contribute to administrative costs last year, but with decreases to budgeted costs in line with actual costs, Cabrillo will be able to contribute a very small amount to admin this year. Number 800, Drainage. Drainage for the community of Los Osos falls under the purview of the utility department. Primary responsibility is the operation and maintenance of four pump stations in several areas within the community, whereby storm waters and channels are maintained free of obstruction. The drainage fund is funded by a special tax that is a static revenue source that have been set aside for a pool and then a very small garden and landscape account. Fund 900 never contributes to the admin fund. One of the things that the board will be considering is that the Los Osos CSD is actually takes in its county tax revenue in an unusual manner that is not the norm for small districts, where it still has left the allocation that was provided by the county many years ago. And normally a CSD just takes in all of the revenue and then it allocates it according to the budgetary needs from one year to the next as enterprise funds are able, you know, sometimes when costs increase but the revenues are not increased, like for water or fire or something, then, you know, those property taxes get, you know, moved around a little bit. So we will be doing a study during the fall. So it is my recommendation that the board accept.
Excuse me, just a sec. Oh, the people who are in the back, excuse me, the people in the back talking, we can hear you up here and I can't hear. It's just the echo in the room as usual. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. It is a recommendation that the board accept the budget as presented currently, but with some recommendations for looking at mid-year adjustments to address some of these issues.
Thank you for the. Are you finished with your presentation?
I am done. Yes. Sorry.
My first question, but thank you for that excellent overview, and thank you for all this work. You and the office staff have done an incredible job, in my opinion.
Thank you.
And it's been my pleasure working with you on this. I just have a question. Could you make some of those recommendations now of what you see for this mid-year? What you would see adopting the budget tonight, but what kinds of things would you recommend?
I think that some of the concerns that we heard at the Finance Committee were regarding the different funds and how we pull for administrative overhead seems to be more according to the ability of the fund as opposed to a fair allocation depending on the, you know, assessments for the different areas in Los Osos, because, you know, some people are Everybody's in the fire district, but not everybody's in the water district, et cetera. And so I think that one of the main recommendations is that we look at a different method of allocating administrative costs, and that will take some time, but possibly earlier than that.
Okay, and then that, of course, would go to the Finance Committee for
that
their...
That is correct.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from the board at this time? Right now, we're going to have the finance chair come up and speak. And anybody from the finance committee who would like to speak, please come up. You may also.
First of all, on behalf of the finance advisory committee, I want to thank Anna Jane for not only this presentation, which she gave you this evening, but which she so kindly shared with us. At our Monday meeting, and uniformly, the folks who were at the meeting on Monday, some of whom were, like myself, members of the former Finance Committee, were amazed to find out that there actually was a person who was working for the staff who could give us the figures. So that was very, very helpful. On behalf of the Finance Committee, I would also like to state that we respect and admire the folks who are working for the CSD. And our comments, when we do have some comments about admin and how much money is going there, there's no way should be construed as thinking that we need to cut the services. What we think is that perhaps there can be some economies without putting people out of work. And in the main, our recommendation is that you adopt this budget. But we have two areas in which we are quite concerned. First of all, and I know the argument about the fact that the fire department covers the entire district, and therefore perhaps it's the easy place to dip into. However, it is a place that needs a reserve because they have equipment that is we own equipment that they are using, which may need to be replaced. And it is just not prudent to continue to eat away at these reserves and not have a reserve which one could feel confident that in case you did need to replace some equipment, we could do so. It also would be nice if the reserve fireman on television and saw and understood what happened in Katrina, something which I guess the head of Homeland Security didn't get straight, despite the fact that there it was on real-time TV. We could be in serious problems here, and we don't have the reserves to deal with it in the drainage, and therefore we're concerned about taking money from drainage to be put into admin. In addition, I want to point out to you and to everyone who has picked up a copy of the budget, it has some new things in it called executive summaries. Now, that's something which we've talked about in the Financial Advisory Committee now for as long as I can remember. And it's the first time that we've got them. And I hope that is going to continue because it gives you an opportunity to get not only you as board members who have to vote on this, but the public can get some understanding by reading the executive summary. Because if you look at the numbers, sometimes it gets to the point where your eyes glass over and you don't quite know what's going on here. So we're real proud of the fact that we got the executive summaries. And last but not least, this district does have a problem that I think begins with its formation. And whoever set up these funds and decided where the money was coming, how much money was going to be attributed to it. It just makes no sense whatsoever. And we've got to get into this thing, and we've got to negotiate with the county and see what we can do about changing things. You know, I live in Cabrillo. The total amount of tax money that comes to this district from Cabrillo is $17,500. I may be off by a couple of pennies. I would suspect that...
We did discuss quite a bit the aspects of changing weather patterns at the committee relative to whether we have the reserves on hand or locked up by the bankruptcy court to take care of emergencies that could occur as the climate changes. I've been spending probably too much time online looking at ocean currents. There's a lot of papers that have been written about the changes that are going on over this past year. Basically, and I think I've said this before here, but I'll reiterate for people at home, you have to prepare for either a very dry winter or a very wet winter. We don't know which it's going to be. There's going to be a regime change up and down the coast. If it's a dry winter, then of course the groundwater doesn't get recharged and you have to start using more water to keep your plants alive, and that's bad for Los Osos. If it's a very wet winter, it may be so wet that you've got ponding and puddling going everywhere, and that could cause lots of problems. So clean out your rain gutters and be prepared for a really wet winter in case we are in the wet zone, and watch for mosquitoes. Keep all water covered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last but not least, I must observe that some folks have decamped from this meeting. They didn't stay to see this budget or to find out what the future is. I heard a lot of criticisms, but when it comes down to trying to find out how we might work together to solve our problems, they seem to have left. This is a community that has a lot of very talented people in it. People who could make a contribution. It's time for us to get together again. We got together for the fire tax increase. We should get together and see about solving this problem. The bankruptcy, when I listened to the folks talking about bankruptcy, it was as if I was revisiting something that was required reading when I was in high school, the Scarlet Letter. This is like B for bankruptcy. Oh, he was a bankrupt, my God. Well, one of the most distinguished presidents that we've had in the last, at least in my lifetime, was Harry Truman. He went bankrupt. Listen, did everybody not remember that?
He actually didn't.
Thank you very much, Mr. Golden, and I wanted to thank your committee. Please pass my thanks on to everybody in your committee for all their hard work this year. It's been frustrating for all of us. And now we're going to open this up to general public comment on the budget.
Martha Golden Los Osos. I am not a member of the Financial Advisory Committee. I have a question for our accountant. Excuse me. There's some mysterious to me because I don't understand it. There's an item concerning some kind of maximum funds, $4 million, $6 million, I don't know what it is. I don't understand it at all. What money are we talking about? From where does it come? Where does it go? And why are we talking about an increase in this ceiling, I think it is, but again, I don't understand it. Maybe you can clarify that. The other question I have does relate to what has been talked about a little bit by Lee and others, and that is the amount of money we get out of the property taxes that we pay into the county, the amount of money which is returned then to the CSD for its functions. I understand that there are a few special taxes, if that's the correct term, but there are other general, more general funds than that, none of which, it seems to me, were ever adequate to finance a governmental entity and provide and have that entity provide the required services. How did that come to be? Is there some way to change that? Those may be questions beyond your bailiwick, but I'd sure like to get a handle on how come Cabrillo, for example, only gets a little over $17,000 out of the hundreds of thousands it's got to be paying to the county in property taxes. Thanks.
I have to say that I don't have a complete understanding of how all of this allocation works as well, and I think that an area like Cabrillo, I think that when you see that money, when the county reports to us and separates that money out, I think that that is just specifically time to figure out how this is really supposed to work, because I think that what we see in those reports is not really the whole picture, and that it really normally is, you know, here's your lump sum amount, and you allocate it according to the services needed by the citizens. And I think the other thing that you were referring to was the GAN appropriations limit, and that this is one of the resolutions that is here, and this is information that is literally provided to us from the county, and it's a resolution that needs to be passed, and that is all I know about it.
I could add just a tiny bit to that, Ms. Golden, is that the GAN is a requirement by law to set that every year. The index is received by the Department of Finance in Sacramento, and that's something that's required by law to pass every year. We'll never reach this amount. It has nothing to do with reality in our district. It's just a requirement by law to state this level and that index rate. And then the only other thing I can add about the way that funds are allocated, I did some research myself, too, with the county auditor, some emailing back and forth, and pretty much learned that the day the CSD was formed, there were certain funds, as have been explained well by Ms. Hugh, and they were in a certain state of affairs at that moment. That's what was transferred over. The formulas at that time are what were transferred over. And the formulas are different depending on how long the funds were in place, how if they were formed pre or post Prop 13, and if they were formed with assessments or special monies too. So all those factors come into play, and I suggest if you want more, we're going to do the same thing, but you can contact the county auditor's office for more information, and they do publish an assessor tax allocation and rolls, and it's not super complicated, but you can see the different funds labeled by zones, and you can see how much that they are they contribute. So, Director Sennett?
And furthermore, many of these fees and things that we pay, any increase in them are subject to 218 vote as well. So that's a little more complication in trying to raise them. It's a formal process. It has to go to the voters, and there's a cost involved in that too, as well as a risk of not passing.
Any other questions or comments from the board at this time? More public comment, please.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow. And first of all, in other words, CSA 9 was never adequately funded, and we transfer this responsibility to the CSD with the same funding. It just doesn't budget out. So I really think that our present CPA is onto it and on top of it and realizes the problem and is seeking a solution in an aggressive manner, and that's really good. And I think that the best policy of the community is to try to help solve some of these problems, get some money together. And in that regard, I talked to Laura Peters, who is the grant official on the latest round of funding for drainage. And we had an hour conversation today, and after I explained to her what we're trying to do with sustainability and affordability and those kinds of things, and that we had hoped to get a step project with the Ripley plan and so forth and so on. Her attitude from the beginning of the conversation changed like 180 degrees. And she said, oh, you're trying to save electricity, you're trying to save the bay, and all this stuff. So I put the grant application on this CD. Her name is Laura Peters, and she's a bright lady. And I believe that we can help our drainage fund immensely by applying for this Clean Beaches grant funding. And she also encouraged us to try to fund the on-site septic tank management program in an effort to clean up our groundwater basin. So I think we can get funding if we do it right. And I just spoke with McPherson, who is head of the Wastewater Committee, and she says she has a grant writer who will charge out of whatever grant funds he gets back, so that we won't have to cost the district any money on this effort. So I would ask that you commit to the public now that you will seek this funding in a very aggressive manner. Please. The other thing, would you please explain GAN and the negative budgets and how you plan to recoup the negative budget? I have some others, but I don't have any more time. Who wants this?
Reductions in the reserves that will have to take place in order to take care of prior year shortfalls and expected ones this year. And so I think that that's probably the really...
But how do you recoup it is what I asked. How do you get it back?
The way that you recoup it is probably having to go through some of these increases in fees and water revenues and et cetera. And, and part of it is trying to get out of having these extraordinary legal costs. I mean, that's a huge burden on the district, and so hopefully we'll get there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Michelson?
I was just going to say that part of my presentation was the money that is subject to the preliminary injunction, and again, I think it's the board's position that some of the reserves were exhausted dealing with wastewater issues, and there was expected reimbursement from the state fund, and those monies are now tied up, and we're going to take a run at retrieving those monies, so the reserves will be back where they were before this all started.
Thank you. Mr. Dugan?
Evening, Los Osos. Now, my understanding is that even before the recall election, that these reserves were really low to begin with, and there was a lot of borrowing back and forth going on, and there came a point to where what money needed to be repaid back to the reserves and in their places that never got paid back because the contractors got paid ahead of time, and it basically left the district closer to bankruptcy then than it was after the recall. So in my mind, I think the problem probably started in anticipation of a recall, and that it could be cleared up if the recall was not successful, because the people who had the knowledge of where this money was and what was going on would then further the non-recalled board's agenda. But what happened is that those people said, well, we lost, and so therefore you have to navigate this minefield on your own. I believe Dan Blesky stepped on a few of them, which is too bad. And all the reserves have suffered. But I have to remind everybody that people plotted to bankrupt the CSD if the recall was successful. And you got your wish. Now we have bankruptcy protection. And so it's not as hard on the CSD and the community as they'd hoped it would be. And it takes the wind right out of their sails. The call for conservation. And raising those water rates, which we need to get that contracted out soon so we can have that water rate study done and get that done as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next speaker, please.
You have any problems?
Mr. Anderson?
Yeah. Roger Anderson from Morro Bay. I want to respect the parameters you've set out, commenting now on just budget items. Is that correct? Okay. First of all, I support, you know, any grant monies that can be achieved are of course an outstanding revenue source. Unfortunately, you're often competing against a lot of other people who feel they're just as deserving, so you can't count on them. One thing I've brought up before, and I'd like to suggest it again, is the idea of a redevelopment district. That's if you want to keep if you want to keep your tax dollars here in the community, that's a way to achieve it. And I don't think it would be too much of a problem to justify it. And I believe Atascadero has done so effectively. They're incorporated. Los Osos is not. But meeting last week, LOCAC, the county representatives were here. I suggested it there, and they said it could be done. And it, even though it's not an incorporated community, it could be done. They acknowledged, and I think that it, at least it's worth investigating. The worst that could happen is that it doesn't pan out. But if you could keep more tax dollars here, and I've sat in positions where I wanted to keep more tax dollars in a community, and you know that wasn't an option. But here I think it is. So please, please explore that. Thank you.
Mr. Michelson, I have a question on that. Is that something that could be considered as part of our bankruptcy plan, or is that not something that would enter into that?
Nothing's off the table. I mean, I don't know much about these districts, but if that's viable, I mean, there's no reason why that couldn't be utilized. Sure.
My question is twofold. With bankruptcy, is that an unsecured or secured contract? Why would we be budgeting for them if in Chapter 9? Do you understand where I'm going with my question?
I do. The budgeted amount does specifically address the Ripley contract. The services provided kind of crossed over the two fiscal years, so you're correct in that. Part of what is owed to Ripley is actually on the bankruptcy list of creditors,
okay.
And that as it stands right now for that portion, they would not be able to be paid. And if they all the services were rendered prior to August 25th, that they will actually not be paid until the reorganization takes place. So it is kind of unusual. That's what I talked about. It's like you have to budget for
right.
them, but from a cash perspective,
does it make sense to actually fund them,
pay them
when we're not actually going to pay
part
them?
Part of the reason for the negative wastewater budget.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious why we would have money sitting in a funding account when it's been discussed that we need it in our reserves. My second part of my question is in regards to under capital expense of the budget, there was a $281,189 transfer into and then paid to administrative. That was per February 9th meeting. And this year, there's a line item budget of $210,000 to be transferred in from ops. Is that what is ops specifically?
Operating reserves.
Okay. I'm curious again why we would be transferring funds from our depleted reserve accounts to be sitting in a wastewater project budget when the county will be taking it over. Why funding, so much funding would be sitting in our wastewater project?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
I can't think right offhand what the theory is on this, and I will look into that. Because I didn't think that we were transferring anything from wastewater. We don't have...
Could you please point the line item out again for me where you're looking? Are you looking on the consolidated
right here,
page?
The one that's highlighted is what she's referring to.
$210,000.
The $210,000 under Fund 600. And I can't recall offhand why that is, so I will look into that for you.
There it is. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Mr. Nazzi.
Madam President, board, staff. My name is Lynette Tornotsky, and it happens we're going to be okay.
Ms. Hugh, our CPA, hired to produce the budget, stated in that meeting that you would need to consider the frozen funds as our reserves, that you must get the frozen funds released to operate the district properly. Were you referring to the funds frozen in the bankruptcy, which, looking at the budget, appear to be minimal anyway, and are tied up in bankruptcy for who knows how long? Or were you referring to the funds frozen by the judge in the contractor's suits, which, as they are SRF funds and belong to the state and belong to a specific wastewater project, I doubt those funds could be used to operate the district or pay for a new fire truck if there's an accident that requires one, or pay to repair a water main if it breaks. It seems that we're looking ahead at quite a bit of risk with only hope for good luck to get us through this thing. The second thing I don't understand is on the budget is on page 2 of the executive summary, number 600, the wastewater project. You have budgeted for unfunded items in the amount of $600,000. These are modification to the environmental impact report, an affordability study, and modification to the Coastal Commission permit and other permits. What does this refer to? I hope it doesn't mean the wastewater project that will be soon under the county's purview. And if so, why even think to spend money on that in light of the real need to plan for emergencies? Also on that same page, you mention a source of additional funds that is being explored. That is the sale of the remaining bonds. Mr. Blesky stated in a meeting in March or April that this was not feasible then due to the financial condition of the district. Now that we're in bankruptcy, what changes the picture favorably for the sale of bonds? This kind of specious financial thinking worries me as to the board's ability to manage this bankruptcy. Thank you.
I think that your overall assessment, as I said on Monday night at the Finance Committee, is actually correct. And these are absolutely very difficult times for the district. The funds that I was referring to that were frozen are the $1.9 million that reside in the wastewater accounts and were frozen by the judge. And the reason that you have to look at those as your reserves available to it, so this sort of transfers your reserves over into those frozen funds. And as I said on Monday night, if we don't get release of those funds and we don't get any access to them, then absolutely the district is in a much tougher position and has to determine in a long-range plan how they're going to replenish those reserves.
Thank you, Ms. Hugh. And then the only thing I would like to add is that those questions that you had about added costs in the wastewater project fund, we thought that it would be appropriate to estimate the cost of those things because they still have to be done whether we do them or the county does them. So they aren't, it was just kind of like a disclosure of items that are still required to produce the project. But again, estimates for the county and or us, because they won't commit to doing the project actually until a year plus later. So we felt it was appropriate to show the budget for those items. Just for full disclosure of what other things are outstanding to get a project done. Okay. Mr. Michelson.
Yes, the comment was made that there are funds frozen in the bankruptcy. There are no funds frozen in the bankruptcy.
Okay. Mr. Chief Anaris?
Madam President, I may have misunderstood this, but I want to get a quick clarification from something Ms. Hugh said. In regards to the special fire tax, I believe you said the fire department asked for that to be raised to its fullest amount at the July 7th meeting. We did not, and so I just want to clarify that.
I think I actually said that the board requested that the fire department raise that special tax up to.
Then I misunderstood that, and I apologize.
Okay.
That's okay. That was something I had planned to clarify as well for the public. The fire department voted for a lower amount of the special fire tax. That was their recommendation. That was the recommendation of emergency services, and I want to make sure that the public is aware of that was a board decision and not the fire department's. They were managing their budget just perfectly. Thank you.
Well, I thought it might be worthwhile to remind folks about the budgets. Just because the figure is there doesn't mean it's spent. This is a tool that most businesses, governmental agencies, as a fact of the matter, some people even at home might try it unsuccessfully. You try to predict what you're going to need. That doesn't mean it's going to get spent. And it's as things change, and they're going to change, we'll have to look at it again. And if the bill passes and Arnold remembers how to sign his name to the bill, that doesn't mean that the county has to take it over. It just gives them the authority to take it over. Let's keep that in mind also while we're working. And until that moment arrives, it's your responsibility to deal with this project.
That's correct. All right. Mr. Sparks?
Joe Sparks, Los Osos. Thank you, Anna Jane. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the fire reserve and in that, in looking at your worksheets that I have here, you've got a recommended reserve of $600,000, and then the cash balance in the fire public facilities fee is $45,000. What can you state what the actual reserves we have at this point in the fire are? Or is that recommended reserves that this board will adopt, and then does that then make it so? If you could elaborate, please, on that. And then the second thing is you mentioned there's to be a proposed water rate increase. And so is there budget in there, a water rate study? And then would we also at that point be, in as part of that, to change the rates to provide more incentives for water conservation and change the water rate structure? So those are the questions I have. Thanks.
No, I'm not sure I understood your second question. Could you?
Well, you mentioned that there's going to need to be a proposed water fee increase.
Yeah.
And so I want to know what would be the timing for when that would be implemented, and is there budgeted a water rate study to go along with that?
Okay. In response to your first question about reserves, the process that of setting reserves are not something that go up and down on their own according to the ups and downs of the actual finances of the district. The reserves are set once a year by the board, and it is up to them to determine what those should be. And then, in the normal setting of the reserves this evening, that we do have those funds, but they're in those frozen accounts. And so we just always have to keep that in mind, that currently with the total amount of funds that the district has, that we have, we are not below the amount of reserves that we should have. And I know a lot of people have questioned, why are we having the difficulty with paying the bond payment if we haven't used reserves? We were trying to take care of a cash issue before it actually happened. And so as we projected out our cash flow for the next few months, that we knew that because of the shortfalls over the last year, that we were not going to be able to pay that bond payment and continue on operations without the use of those frozen funds. And so that was part of the reason that we're borrowing that money in order to pay the bond payment. The projected, the timing of the water revenue increase is, I believe, there's actually a meeting coming up in September that the board is holding on. Isn't that regarding water studies, et cetera? Perhaps you know more about this than I do, the process and the timing?
Well, Director Fouché is our liaison for water committees, and he's not here tonight. I didn't get a chance to talk to him about that. I know that there's an existing water rate study that may or may not have some flaws, but we're looking at approximately a 10% water rate increase in starting that process at the September 21st meeting.
Okay. And I know that that process will take some months, and then as we get later into the fall, if that actually is in place, then, you know, you have people who are billed every other month, you know, so the actual cash impact of that would not be until really early next year.
Great, thank you. Oh, Chief Anaris?
The first part of Mr. Sparks' question referred to under the restricted column in the accounts balances as of, I don't know which page this is, but it looks like this. It shows the restricted funds fund, I think it's 995, fire public facility fee for $44,670.36. It would be towards the back of the package in the analysis of the county takes when someone has a new project and develops that new project. This money is for capital projects relating to that new development. So if someone builds a new subdivision or a new house, an additional fee is tapped to that building to go to parks and to fire and to law enforcement and some other things. And that assists the existing agencies in protecting the new development. And so originally we received approximately $212,000 from the county for the fire public facility fees. The fire department, Station 15 South Bay, used about approximately $177,000 of that for the restroom remodel project. We anticipate using another $6,000 for a traffic interrupter here shortly. And that's what's left of it right now is a $44,000. And so that is for new development or for fire protection for new development.
Chief, can I have a question on that? Maybe you could answer. Is that, will we be getting a yearly allocation on that, or is that it? Or do we get a yearly allocation?
You, as new development comes, as the CSD grows, you will get money tacked onto that. It doesn't grow substantially, and so if you figure in the last 10 years, 11 years of collecting that stuff, we got $212,000. So it's not something that's huge, no.
Okay, seeing no more public comment, I'm closing a public comment on the budget hearing, bringing it back to the board at this time. Who on the board has questions or comments that they'd like to make on the budget? Director Tucker?
I want to thank you, Anna Jane. The executive summaries are hugely helpful. I particularly like the wastewater one in that it's an easy place for people to take a look when Mr. Michelson, when the press and everyone else says that we're $40 million in debt, the contractors are claiming some $23 million. And here in this summary, it's a pretty good place to see sort of what their claims are. And then $23 million between Barnard and Monterey, another $6 million from Whitaker, and another $1 from Montgomery Watson, for a total of $30 million in claims against the district, and that somehow we owe that money when our estimated work in place is $4.5 million. So somewhere when we are in court, a judge is going to make a decision somewhere between those figures, being the little bit of pipe in the ground that and the tearing up of Tri-W, those expenses. So I did like that one. But the Emergency Services Committee has requested of the board several times, and I don't know if this is the place to do it or at some point through our somehow we need to be setting up specific accounts for specific reserves, and I know we've requested it. I don't know that it's been done, and I would like someone to make that happen. And maybe it's me through emotion that those accounts be established so that those monies are set aside and they're easily identifiable and difficult to borrow or move or anything else for them to be touched. So I don't know who wants to make that recommendation of how it gets done, but it needs to get done. And then I am looking forward to the study on the governance formula. I think it's way overdue, and there's been a lot of heartburn over how the district is funded, and so I do look forward to that. And then I'm ready to adopt the budget.
Mrs. Biggs, question on Director Tacker's comments. Can we make a motion tonight to direct staff to get these accounts set up for fire emergency services per recommendations?
Well, you can direct staff to take the steps to do that to bring it back to you, sure.
Okay. I'd like to echo Director Tacker's request and direct staff to do that per recommendations of emergency services. Director Sennett?
On discussion of that matter, I'd like to include that this also be taken up in the Financial Advisory Committee.
Can I ask a question? Is there a resolution that's been brought to you about setting up the additional bank account for water? Okay. I think that was overlooked, that was supposed to come from staff in this meeting.
We'd like to see that at the same time, probably combine that. If there is some proposal coming, run it both through the committees, water and finance, and emergency services and finance in that case. Do any other directors have comments or questions? I just have a few comments that I'd like to make. Once again, I'd like to thank Anna Jane deeply for the hard work that she's done to do this budget. And I'd also have a copy of this, because the additional pieces in this budget, which aren't really, they're sort of budget related, but they're very helpful, answering questions, have to do with the LAIF audit, which is the local agency investment fund. That's where we put a lot of our money. That's where the bond money was placed. And there's an audit on that, and it shows things. It shows things that may be of interest to you. It shows when money was taken out. It shows when it shows when the reserves were borrowed in the summer of 2005 that kind of came, put everything else into play about running down the money. I encourage you to look at the LAIF fund audit. Another audit that was very helpful is the reserves audit. The reserves audit was prepared because every year the board adopted reserves, and sometimes they did inter-fund borrowing. And all of that has been very neatly recorded by Ms. Hugh, so you can find out what resolutions when the board authorized inter-fund borrowing. It's allowed, it's permitted, and again, if we change the way we do our finances, there may not be this inter-fund borrowing thing that's required. But it's all laid out, very nice for you to see. And another thing that was audited that is not part of Ms. Hugh's presentation but is part of this puzzle of where the money went. I've seen in the press a lot of people are asking, where did the SRF money go? It's all laid out in the budget, in the audit that was prepared for Judge Piquet. And what you will see in that budget is very important to what occurred in the summer of 2005. The contractors, the building contractors, the construction contractors, were paid early. They were paid without prior authorization that is required from the state revolving fund loan. The state loan requires that invoices and schedules be submitted to the state, and then the contractors get paid. And what happened is the contractors got paid out of the first disbursement of money. And the first disbursement of money was required by the SRF for us to keep in a reserve, in a contingency fund. It was required by the SRF loan that the first disbursement be kept. Instead, the contractors were advanced payments. So when it came time for the contractors to really get paid, which was 2 months later, the state had withdrawn their money. That's the cascade of the breach of contract. That's what happened with the money. And once you look at these audits, you can see it all for yourself. It shows the history of what's happened. So I just wanted to mention that, and great thanks to the staff. Do you have anything else to add? Anybody else? Do I have a motion to adopt the budget? Oh, I know I have a question. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to thank the Finance Advisory Committee.
Yes, I forgot. I'm sorry.
For the tremendous motivation they gave to staff, including our general manager. And although they may have seemed unresponsive at times, they were like a duck on the water. They were moving real smooth and slow and maybe not really showing much progress. But they were, believe me, they were paddling like crazy underneath the water. And the results are here. This wasn't done overnight or in a couple of weeks. This is a result of an ongoing effort that started months and months ago. And although it couldn't come together in a coherent document at that time, enough was put together to show this result. And I think we should be very proud of the staff. And to a great degree, this was urged by the Finance Committee, but it was so necessary, and I'm glad to see it happen. And thank you, Leon, personally.
That's ditto for me, too. Okay, may I have a motion, please?
Okay, we have several.
Do we do the motion separate, right? Adopt the GAN, adopt the budget separate? So let's do them one at a time.
I move we adopt
the GAN
appropriations limit.
I second the motion. Any discussion on the GAN? Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
President Chicker?
Yes. Can we have the next motion, please?
I move we adopt the final budget.
Do we need to adopt the reserves first, or does it matter?
Did I turn too many pages?
I don't think it matters.
All right, it doesn't matter.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Okay, can we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion on adopting the final budget?
Other than thank you.
Other than thank you. is this when we ask staff, direct staff to do the study on the allocation method in the future, the governance?
You should complete the motions here and then do that.
Okay, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, ma'am. Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
President Chicker?
Yes.
Okay, next motion.
I move we adopt the reserves.
May I second the motion? Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Chicker?
Yes. Okay, I think we have it. Would anyone have any additional comments on the budget or closing comments before we close the evening? Yep. Okay, so definitely would like some concurrence from the board, but would love to direct staff to work on the governance issue and the allocation methods for our budget for the future, the way that it's allocated, including the work on the bank accounts, which we've already directed. Is that pretty much what the board desires? Okay, then opening it up to the board for final comments. Director Tacker?
I merely want to thank Lisa Schicker for her extremely hard work over the last, years, but this month in particular. And she doesn't ask for it, but she deserves it. And I really, really appreciate your hard work. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
I would second that. I know what kind of time and effort you've put into this so that everyone has a clear picture of where the money came from, where it went, how it's being spent. This is the best picture we've had. And thanks for all the hard work. Didn't even know what kind of questions to ask before, but it's becoming clear now that we need to change some structural issues here, and I think we'll get to that. And with everything else that's going on, how you found time to pull this together, I'll never know. But thank you. And it's been a long time coming, but I think we're getting there.
Director Sennett.
I think I'd be remiss not to mention something that was brought up at the Finance Committee meeting, and I was entrusted to bring it to the board.
And that's a, they said bankruptcy counsel must be made aware of the fiscal impacts of the budget limitations. And I think this is a good first meeting to get your feet wet in this. And I think you are being made aware of it. And I thank you for staying and listening and hearing this out. I'd also like to say that there was mention of a comment and a caution that we not act out of panic and desperation. And it seemed like there was a notion that bankruptcy was an act of desperation and panic. But on the contrary, the bankruptcy is a way in which we can deal with these problems in a systematic and thought-out way and get through this. And I think the community needs to realize this. And once again, I thank Leon Golden for saying, together we can work this out, but if we fight amongst ourselves, we'll never achieve that. Even if the county takes the project over, if we keep fighting and going on like this, I think we have to build consensus in whatever we do, as long as we move forward toward that project. Right now, we're trying to get to a wastewater project. We're leaving our options open. We're inviting the county to come and assist under the proper conditions. The community has conditions. The county has conditions. The regional board has conditions. And somehow we're going to have to make those things come together. And if some of the parts don't match, we have other options. And that's what we'll do if we stay together.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My closing, I just have a couple closing comments, and it kind of goes to Mr. Golden as well for his beautiful comment about getting together. And if any time this evening I alluded to the fact of blame, I apologize for that. I take responsibility for my passion and emotion about this, but I truly want to get together, and I want to solve this, and I always have. And what he said about coming together is the most important thing that's been said this evening. And we're willing. We've always been willing. We really believed, I can speak for my fellow board members, I think, on this, that project, we needed a better project for our town. I don't know if any of you watched that show last night on ABC Primetime that showed them the end of the world and different ways that world could end. And the last one was the best one and the most potential for happening, and that was global warming. And sustainability is more than a buzzword. It means a lot. And that we want a project that is sustainable for our town. That's what we've always wanted. We want one that will reduce global warming and reduce the need for electricity and pumping and transporting sludge here and there when it doesn't have a home. You've probably heard today that Santa Maria is not taking our sludge or our CDO water or anything else. And that's what we predicted from the beginning. We saw a problem with that. And so reducing pollution, solving the sludge problem, global warming, electricity, all of those issues were important to us. And we really believed in what we were doing, and we wanted to help the town. I truly believe that the other boards and the other peoples, many of them want to help the town too. Though we all need to come together and work together. We can solve this. We can do this. And I just wanted to reemphasize that is my true goal, and I look forward to working with everybody in this town towards reaching that. So thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Director Sennett?
Seeing that John isn't here tonight, I'll make a pitch for him maybe, and it's really my own comment. I was listening to the radio on NPR, and there was an energy expert talking about the various costs of electricity for solar, for wind, geothermal, everything, coal, nuclear, everything, and rating them on the cost per kilowatt hour or megawatt hour. And the question was asked to him, what is the most cost-effective energy? you know, which way should we go? And he said the most cost-effective energy is that you don't use. And it's the same way with water in the community. What's the best way to develop our water resources? And that's to conserve as well. So on both fronts, as a future project, we should be looking toward conservation in terms of water and development of water resources for the community to expand and even maintain our status quo. It's conservation. I'd like to remind everybody about that, how important it is. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Good night. See you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.